And now would you bow your heads and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures, and now to share my testimony. Amen. We have sermon notes on the back of your bulletin if you would like to follow along. If you could see what heaven saw, you'd likely respond the way heaven responded. I wonder would I have heard if I had been there that night. It's a question that kind of I think of this annually. Would I have heard the choir of angels singing? Or would I have just simply heard sounds of barnyard animals shifting around? Would I have seen the star in the sky, or simply two very poor, frightened teenagers looking for a place to lay their heads? Would I have understood the silence of the divine presence, or simply call it the cold east wind? Would I have understood the message of Emmanuel, God with us, or would the cosmic implications of the angels singing glory to God in the highest have passed me by? I'm convinced that if two people had been there that night in Bethlehem, it's quite possibly that they could have seen two entirely different scenes. I believe this because all of life is like this way. You know, my friends, God never presents himself in Revelation in a manner which we're forced to believe. We're always left the option, for that is God's way. Thus, one person can say that it's a miracle, and another say it's a coincidence. Certainly, very few people saw and understood what took place that night. If you hear the account of the scriptures of the Christmas story, we're told that the angels appeared to shepherds, but where were all the other people that had gathered in Jerusalem? Where were they at? What were they listening to? What were they responding to? The choirs of angels were singing, but were they drowned out by the haggling and trading that was going on in the Jerusalem bazaar? There was that bright star in the sky, and isn't it interesting that the only people to pay attention to it were pagan astrologers from the east? If anyone did see Mary and Joseph on that night, were they preoccupied with their own problems to offer any existence or assistance? Sermon point number two is, what we see at Christmas impacts how we see Christmas. Now follow me. What we see as Christmas impacts how we see Christmas. And what we see and hear in life depends on, not upon the event, but rather who we are as people. It's not what's out there, but it's what's inside here. You know, the New Testament, sermon note number three, the New Testament tells us how heaven saw Christmas. It was very different. It was very different. We're told, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. But how many people actually heard those words and peace to his people on earth? Ask yourself, it's interesting, this season, have you focused on Christmas instead of Christ himself? If you watch the 6 o'clock news, did you see chaos or strife? Or did you see sheep without a shepherd? When you went out shopping, did you see hordes of people? Or did you notice some of the worried expressions on their faces? Did you hear blasts of music and carols? Or did you hear the sounds of those who at this time of the year really need love and care? Did you hear the sounds of horns honking and people fighting over parking spaces? Or did you hear the sound of laughter from downtown because you furnished toys for children who were in need? I ask myself, have we focused so much on presents that we have forgot about the presence of Jesus and his Holy Spirit? And so when we focus on Christ, when we focus on his presence, we feel the peace that Christmas is meant to bring. We feel the peace that the angels said, glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. Sermon note number 4 is, this peace that I'm talking about tonight, this peace through Jesus is possible. And it is good news. This peace is possible, but it is good news. You know, when you walked in church today, and when you go out, what I'd like you to take a look at is we have several beautiful paintings by one of our artists, Gary Blevins, here at Faith Community. I want you to look at them. What do you see at Christmas? There's a beautiful, beautiful nativity scene. And then there's other pictures that I want you to look at as you go this way. But I believe that when we focus on Christ, when we focus on his presence, this is good news and we feel his peace. And that peace radiates in our souls. Tonight of all nights is a night for us to remind ourselves what the good news is. What Jesus coming as a babe in a manger, growing to be a man, did for us and for our lives. So I invite you to look at Sermon Note 5. And as I go through these, if you can put the first letter of the word that I tell you in the box, and we're going to see what this good news really celebrates. So number 1, the good news is this. A, God created us to be with him. He didn't create us to be out on our own. He created us to be with him. He wants to love us. He wants to care for us. He wants a relationship with us. And that is good news. God created us to be with him. Now, we know this, number 2, letter B, that our sin can separate us from God. We have a free will, and sometimes our sin does separate us from God. And we're reminded in letter C that sin cannot be removed by good deeds. Sin can be removed from our lives by us repenting and taking hold of the grace of God. And that's something that is freely given. That is good news. And that is the good news. Sin cannot be removed by good deeds. Now here's the best news of all. Here's what God has done for us. Letter D, paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. He paid for our sin. He paid for our salvation. He died and he rose again. And because of this, in letter E, everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome that we have a God that sent his son to this earth to die for our sins, and now everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. And finally, life with Jesus starts now. It starts tonight for some of you. It starts tonight and lasts forever. That's the plan of our salvation. That's the good news. And if you would let me know, what is the word that is good news? It is the gospel. If you take anything with you this Christmas, remember the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. Number one, that God created us to be with him. He wants us with him. He wants to love us. He wants to get us through the things of this earth that challenge us. He wants to love on us. That's such an awesome feeling. But we have to remember that our sin can separate us from God. But sin can't be removed by doing good deeds. It's his loving grace that does that. And because his loving grace does that, the way we achieve that, he paid the price for us. It's already done. It's done. He paid the price for our salvation. And because of this, everyone who trusts in him, everyone who trusts in him has eternal life. Life, my friends, starts with Jesus and lasts forever. Life starts with Jesus, the babe born in the manger, and lasts forever. If you could see tonight what heaven saw, you would respond the way heaven responded. Something we need to think about on this Christmas Eve. Tonight is the good news that Jesus was born, but it's also the good news of the gospel. What we see and what we hear is not dependent on the event, remember, but on ourselves. And so let's take this opportunity tonight to take the good news into the world. And in the end, perhaps, as one of our Christmas carols says it best, no ear may hear his coming, but this world of sin, where meek souls shall receive him still, the dear Lord enters in. God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from God, and sin cannot be removed by good deeds. But our Lord, paying the price, sent his son Jesus to be born, to go through human form and human life, and to suffer and die so that everyone who trusts in him has eternal life. And that life starts this evening. And I want you to pray today. Pray tonight. Many of you here, many of you are believers. Many of you have witnessed to this. But as you go out of those doors, take a look at those beautiful pictures. But then take a look at your home and take a look at the people around you as this Christmas season kind of unravels and things come down. And see if you can see Christ himself and his presence instead of the presence under the tree. It's an opportunity for all of us to honor and glory our God. And so glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. I wish you much peace. Would you bow your heads? God, our Heavenly Father, you make it so simple for us to understand that, Lord, your gospel is good news. Sometimes, Lord, we just downright don't listen. But, Lord, you're there nudging us. And, Lord, you never force us. But when we open ourselves to you, you are there. You're there with your miracle. And you say to us, welcome, welcome home. God, I pray that as we go forth this Christmas night, that we would remember the good news of the gospel. We ask this in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And at this time, if the ushers would come forward for this morning's offering, this evening's offering.